And that means it's time for episode 4 of GWP.
Good entrance. Hey, I like that. I like that.
All right. We're going to start off today kind of getting our stuff in order and figuring out how we're going to do this from now on. So we're going to start with our weekly recap. I've struggled saying that all afternoon.
Yeah. So, but with anything, it's a learning curve. So we're still working out a couple of things how we're going to do this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're getting it down, though.
Yeah,
I think we're
getting it down. Oh, yeah. Very exciting episode today. We're gonna talk our weekly recap, and then we've got tag team wrestling.
And believe me, everybody, this has been talked about all week, and we have kept each other's top 10 away from one another.
We both have a tag team top 10 list, and neither one of us has seen the other one's list.
this ought to be interesting.
It's gonna be exciting.
But I guess we're gonna.
Always been a huge tag team wrestling fan, so this is exciting.
Yeah, so we're going to try to get through the weekly roundup as quickly as possible so we can get to this, because been wanting to talk about tag teams for a while.
Yes.
Definitely.
We'll get through this as quickly as we can without skipping anything important, hopefully.
You want to we'll go ahead and start with the Raw?
Sure. What happened on Raw?
Lordy, lordy. Well, let's start with, finally we got the Becky Bayley cage match.
Oh, yes, we got the steel cage match.
Finally got it. I enjoyed it.
Very much.
And once again, y'all are probably getting tired of us saying this, but once again, the women just show up and show out. They just are killing it. And then, you know, of course, at the end of that, we had...
Oh, we had a return.
Lita. Yeah. I liked, hey, and she, you know, she threw a couple moves on out there, but I like seeing Lita return.
Yeah, hey, she can still go. She's for sure still can go.
She was my favorite, one of my favorite women back in the day. Of course, she had that different look than the other women, other divas had back then.
Yeah, she was not a diva as the belt back then showed.
Yeah, as you were pretending, yeah, because we were just looking at the old titles. It did went from women's to divas to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was talking about the women's quick detour. That was one of the big selling points when I switched back in the day to watching TNA. And their big advertisement for it was there's no divas here, only knockouts.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. I see that.
That was good stuff.
Yeah. That divas era was a little weird. And I guess you could say, I don't know. I didn't like it. I've always liked them, but the women, what I'm trying to say is I like the women nowadays. The way they perform, the way they, even down to their entrances, to their in-ring moves, I like it.
I mean, as a teenage boy, I never complained about...
I never complained about seeing Trish Stratus.
Yeah, never complained about bra and panty matches.
Yeah, never complained about that at all. You're so right.
These days, seeing how they perform, I'm like... We might have got robbed on some stuff back then.
Yeah, I think, like I was saying...
Too much focus on the bra and panties and not enough on the wrestling.
That's what it was. Well, that makes sense with Vince, you know what I mean? So,
what else happened on Raw?
I actually wanted to start off with this, though. Can we please talk about this Paul Heyman, Cody promo?
Oh.
The one that I think gave chills to every single wrestling fan across the planet.
Oh, it stopped this household in its tracks. I'm sitting here watching it on my computer, / TV spot. My daughter is sitting over there playing her game. Paul Heyman hits this, and even she stops, turns around, and goes, "Whoa!"
Yeah, that was deep. Hey,
I mean, man, to tell Cody. You were always Dusty's favorite son.
Yeah, but...
But Roman is the son he always wanted.
Mic drop. Hey, mic drop.
Wow. I mean... Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Powerful.
And the whole segment was good. And, you know, and Paul was like, okay, you got me on. Oh, you're trying to get personal now, Cody. No. You got me with that one, you know. Saved old Dusty and the family, Rhodes family, from starving, you know, poverty. And I don't care about none of that. He said, hey, man, this ain't about you and I. This, you know, this is about, you know.
It was, Paul Heyman with a microphone in hand, pure gold.
Yeah, you got to stop what you're doing and watch and listen.
I mean, if there is not a future spot in the Hall of Fame with his name on it, somebody's got some answering to do, because it's got to happen.
Dude, ever since walking around with a cell phone and, you know, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, he's always been there, man. And he's been around the biggest stars. But whoever star he touches and decides to put his name with,
yeah,
superstar.
Absolutely.
Superstar.
It's amazing. Because a lot of times when you start talking about Paul Heyman, the first thing you think of is ECW.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the more you look into this guy, the more you see where he's been, you realize how deep into the business he's been. He's
been around a long time. Who in the hell
he is connected to. It's unbelievable.
WCW. Hey, he was there. I mean, when me and you were just talking about this the other day, when he was with Undertaker.
Yep.
But he wasn't Taker then. He was with Mean Mark and Psycho Sid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's put hands. He's been around a long time, man. Probably dangerously. It goes on and on.
I mean, when he's on screen rattling about the Samoans he used to run with, uh-huh. I mean,
Yeah,
before the Samoans that we know today, The Rock, Roman, Usos, before these guys was Sika, Afa, High Chief Peter Maivia.
Yeah,
we cannot get into the Samoan dynasty right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, it's only an hour show, sir. But hey, future.
Oh yeah. I think there's definitely a Samoan Dynasty podcast in the future.
Oh, which can go on and on. And actually I posted something on our Facebook page, Gladiator Wrestling Podcast, about an old Peter Maiva wrestling flyer.
Oh yeah.
That was from him. And that's when Hacksaw was down there learning the ropes with them, and he was known as The Convict.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan was the convict.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he had a mask on.
Wore a mask. Yeah, that's why we couldn't find him. Because it was like, where's Hacksaw? I don't see him. He was the convict. Yeah.
I'm not going to tell it today, but I'm going to have to tell my Hacksaw Jim Duggan story on one of these days.
Definitely.
I gained a whole new way of looking at that man later on in life than I did when he was actually physically wrestling.
I've always liked him.
That's really cool.
And he had the most simplest gimmick in the world. Hey, just give me a flag and a 2x4. Yeah. Of course, you remember that's when we had the good old, we had the Russians, we had Sheik, we had Slaughter, we had the, you know.
And we definitely had to have the some American heroes taking care of the good old USA. So
yeah, thankfully for Hacksaw. And Hacksaw only. Let's keep on going. We'll go to the Fatal 4-Way. Did you by chance catch that?
Fatal 4-Way on Raw?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Carmella. Carmella.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She won it.
Oh, yeah.
And personally, I was.
That's right.
Once again, Piper.
Piper Niven, yep.
Stole the show.
Absolutely.
Stole the show. Why are we not seeing more of this woman?
I don't understand why we're not going to be seeing her in this Elimination Chamber. I'd have been sold 100% on seeing that.
She's flipping, she's running, she's doing cannonball. Yeah. Dude, she is amazing. I love her in-ring skill. I love her persona. I like everything about her, and I'm liking the new Piper over Dewdrop. I'm liking this whole gimmick. I'm liking her, and I hope we see more of her. And, you know, Carmella, welcome back. But absolutely, everybody kind of figured that was going
to
happen.
I got that match. I didn't have my notes with me to take notes on Monday. So I'm going off of his notes. That messed me up. But we talked about the Carmella match actually seeming like may have been her outfit may have been a hint that Trish was back. Lita.
Because that goes back to why I love Lita so much. If she'd had them blue jeans on and man, come on. She was killing it back in those days.
It may not have been, but I was like, isn't that interesting?
And then I didn't see this. You had to inform me on this one. It was Edge and Beth.
Oh, yeah. They challenged.
That must have been at the very first of the episode. That was
the opening of the show. They come out and they did their talking, and he talked up the Judgment Day actually, and said, you know, that he put the Judgment Day together to build up these guys that weren't getting the fair shake kind of deal. And then of course the Judgment Day comes out, and Convict Dom with the and everything.
Man, it's better watch the way he's talking. Hey, he better watch the way he's talking around Dom.
We're not going there. Corey Graves hams that up so much. I've talked about him way too much on this podcast as he is, but I really enjoy him as a commentator.
I do too.
I can't believe I do.
I do too. I like Corey. I love him.
I didn't used to. When he first got to commentary, I was like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, I get he can't wrestle. We got to do something. Yeah. But man, he's grown. He's grown into it. He's good. But yeah. But they challenged Finn and Rhea Ripley for a match at the Elimination Chamber. Of course, Rhea wasn't there, so Dom accepted on Rhea's behalf. And I kind of wonder if this may lead to her possibly breaking away from Judgment Day. Like, I mean, she's gonna show up, and she's gonna tear the house down.
Well, you admit she's gonna have to, because if she goes to Mania. And beats Charlotte, she's got to hold that blue title.
Yeah, so I see that causing that being the catalyst to cause a rift there. But she'll show up for Elimination Chamber, and she gonna tear it down the house with Beth Phoenix in that match, because I think Beth Phoenix style and Rhea Ripley style will complement each other, and they should be it should be a good show on that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's going to lead to a final showdown between Finn and Edge at WrestleMania. Quite possibly.
Hopefully. I'm ready for this to end.
I think that's going to end in a Hell in a Cell. That kind of seems to be the rumor. Seems to be that was going to happen at Royal Rumble, but Edge wasn't back in time to do a setup. You know, they need a little bit of time to make a setup for that instead of just, day of saying, hey, we're going to have a Hell in a Cell match.
There were some other little matches here and there. We had Dawkins versus Priest.
Oh, yeah.
I like Priest. We already knew where that was going to happen.
Yeah.
The thing that is I'm starting to see more of, they're starting to, you know, with the Street Profits, you got Dawkins losing, Montez winning, you know, and it's... me and Josh have been talking about this for a while to see where the Street Profits are going, because there's been rumors of splitting them and doing this. And
like there for a minute, it looked like it was definitely they were going to split, and then all of a sudden they're a team again, and it's not. I don't know. I think it's kind of one of those. They're really over as the Street Profits, and it you got to weigh the option. Is it going to? Because if they split them. It's almost, I think what they may be worried about is it's only going to elevate one of them.
And everybody knows who that one is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, Montez is, he would get that push. Yeah. He would get
get that push, and you know.
He's good. He's good.
But Dawkins is good, too. So
he has improved.
If it has a Marty Jannetty effect, it'd be terrible. I have nothing against Marty Jannetty, by the way, but... the split of the Rockers really.
Yeah, that was kind of a crazy thing. But yeah, like I said, they had little hit and miss matches in here. Dawkins lost, Montez won.
Yep.
Again, I don't know what they're doing with Elias or Ezekiel or whatever they had that going, but they just got him on losing streak. Speaking of losing streaks, JBL, and we're going to talk about Corbin for just a teeny tiny bit.
So Baron Corbin.
I could tell there was something going on. If you go back and you look at their entrance.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin's all happy smiles. JBL's just, I'm done with him. Yeah. Look.
He was giving up, and you could tell by the entrance that, you know, if he don't win this match, it's done. And it bothers me to see Corbin go through this because I'm wondering what is going on with Baron Corbin. Is somebody... We're going to break the fourth wall here. Somebody behind the scenes not happy with Baron Corbin? Because I follow Baron Corbin in NXT.
Yeah?
He was the lone wolf, and his NXT work was really good.
Okay.
And I was like, man, this guy's awesome. And he come to main roster, and he was good. for a minute. I mean, and he won King of the Ring,
Rumble. Andre the Giant Rumble.
Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. He won. I mean, he's won some, you know, fairly high profile stuff there.
Yeah.
I wish the King of the Ring meant more now than it used, you know, like it used to.
Yeah. I missed that.
Check that mark. That we're gonna have to have a King of the Ring talk. Podcast now.
You're right. You're right.
That's coming later.
That ain't even a thing anymore, is it?
When they want it to be.
Yeah, they maybe throw it in there. Yeah. Whatever.
I mean, we'll get into that. We coming soon. King of the Ring talks.
All yeah. Right.
So, but if anybody knows me, I have long hair. So, mm-hmm. And I feel like, and that's where my uncle used to tell me, by the way, that told my grandma, that's why I can't cut my hair. It's where all my power, my mojo comes from. Baron Corbin cut all his hair off and he ain't been worth yes, a damn bitch. Cent. So I think my uncle might have been smarter than I gave him credit for.
Well, I mean, he was winning a couple there for, but after he, you know, Madcap won that little Andre the Giant thing, that's what kind of like pissed him off. And I think they're doing like a greed thing too, but I just don't know. He's pissed somebody off in the back, or they're just not.
He had the King Corbin gimmick, and it
showed no love. He is being it shown went no love. Nowhere.
He had the Happy Corbin thing, and it was nothing. Oh, God. And the, you know, the no luck thing. I didn't. I'll be honest. Gonna be blatantly honest here. I didn't even watch that stuff with the happy or with the
whole
bad luck streak. I mean, I knew what was going on.
I was confused too because I was like, "What do you mean he won millions at the lot?" I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I hate it because I really think Baron Corbin is a better talent than what we're seeing.
He is.
Hopefully, there's something down the road better for him, even if it's not with WWE.
Had made a comment, and maybe he should follow the steps of a couple other people and just, you know, step away.
I believe what I said was he should take a page out of Drew McIntyre's book.
You did.
Drew McIntyre went from being in 3MB, which, by the way, those three guys, just throw this out there, made that enjoyable. Mm. I mean, you knew it was a joke. You knew they were the laughing stock, but they took a crap gimmick that Vince McMahon threw at him.
Yeah.
And they made the best of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so stupid. And then I watch them week after week, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You guys went for it. I mean, that was cool.
Yeah.
But he left. I was released.
He was supposed to be the next big thing. I remember when he was small, man. He wasn't as big as he was now.
He was scrawny compared to speaking.
He had his hair pulled back. He was just, yeah.
And but then he left. And he goes and wrestles, you know, some independents, wrestles in TNA as Drew Galloway, becomes mm-hmm. their champ. But when he showed back up as Drew Galloway in TNA, he did not look the same.
Yeah.
He found a gym somewhere.
Yeah. He found a gym somewhere. Because like I was saying, he wasn't that big. Because when I saw him, I was like, that's Drew?
And, hey. Yeah. And that may be what Baron Corbin needs. He may need to, you know, get away from WWE. Reinvent himself, you know, he might need to go to Impact for a few months.
Yeah.
Build himself, go to AEW, and maybe go back. I mean, I'm not against taking some kind of trajectory like that. Or he may hit AEW and realize this is the place to be and
this
stay
is
there.
Where I was supposed to be because of his style of wrestling. Maybe he wants to be able to do a different style of wrestling than they do in AEW.
And he could pop over to AEW and, you know, in a year's time, we'd be going, oh, my God, he's the champ. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. You know.
You never know with him. But
I think it might be time for him to make that kind of call.
Oh. So what I know, the way I do my notes is we'll just go straight into Dynamite.
Okay, we'll go in order of the week.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So you want to start off with the way MJF was?
which time did we saw him?
We're just going to talk about
saw him all night.
Well, they started off with him, which I cannot never pronounce his name.
Takesha.
Okay, that was a good match.
Yeah. And once again, my guy Takesha shows up, and the dude can go.
Yeah.
I have not been disappointed yet seeing him in the ring.
We've seen a lot. I guess I don't know if they heard our last podcast. Maybe they listened to GWP, but we've seen a lot of MJF last week. Because...
Good grief.
He was on three times. He was on that match, and then he cut that damn promo, dude. Oh, and let me tell you something.
A scathing promo.
We talk about Paul Heyman when everybody turns around and goes, wow, did he really just... Hey, when MJF... was talking about that car wreck.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, you know what kind of guy I am? He says, I'm the kind of guy, I get out and I put her in the driver's seat and I get in the back. Hey, man, even the missus come out of the bathroom and said, well, I think that's crossing the line just a little bit, don't you? And I was like, that's fucking MJF, man.
I don't know who taught him how to get heel heat, but damn, they must have taught him real good because he can pull heel heat like nobody.
Dude. The shit he says.
Hey. Let's see.
What, I just couldn't stop laughing. I was like,
when was it? When AEW started.
Yeah.
I've been watching from the... I was not able to watch the All In pay-per-view. But ever since they started out and they did, I think, All Out first. And then they moved. And then they got their TV. I've watched the whole time. And like just a month or two after the first time I saw MJF. I was texting my buddy back home in Texas, and I said, or was I texting or what? I was on, it don't matter. Anyway, I was in a conversation, and I said, this guy right here is going to be one of the best heels in wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. And you went along. He
can draw heel heat. Like, dude. Only few people in the business have been able to draw that kind of heel heat.
Right. And I mean, the shitty man, and you know,
some of them to draw that kind of heat had to switch from red and yellow to black and white, but we'll move past that.
Anyways, we had Hater and Bunny.
Yeah, well.
You know, I've been doing it. If we're looking at it as a report card, situation, I would give it a C minus.
Yeah.
It just wasn't the most horrible thing.
I really expected that match to end with a new challenger showing up or something.
I know.
Video pay, something that does that kind of, somebody's coming for Hater's title next or something. But we didn't. So.
I'm still hoping we get to see that return from. Because I just don't think it's right that she stays over in Japan, man. I'm hoping Sasha comes to AEW. I really am. I'm pushing for it. I want her to be there. She needs weekly showing, you know? I don't understand this. I don't know how they do it over in Japan. I don't live over in Japan. I don't know if they got a Monday night show. I don't know if they got a Friday night show that comes on every week.
Yeah, I'm not sure how
that. Or do they just go to straight pay-per-views every month, and it's just like, okay, this is when you get to see your favorite wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, but... Your boy Starks versus the Jericho Appreciation Society. Yeah. What'd you think about that one?
I didn't even write that down in my notes, but I was pretty I mean, Starks, once again, looked good. I mean, he ran through him.
Mm-hmm.
The first guy gave him a pretty good run. But, of course, had to be a masked man in the crowd.
Nah, the Ocho. Hey. Yep. Jericho said he sat there for so long, even talked to people, got a drink, nacho. Hey, nobody knew it was him.
I tell you right now, if I'd have been sitting beside him, there's no way I wouldn't have known it was him.
Yeah.
I knew as soon as the camera panned and I saw the eyes, I knew exactly what it was. Uh-huh. I mean, and I'd know Jericho's voice.
Well, like I was asking you, I didn't know if when you wear a full lucha mask, does it make your voice sound kind of, you know, muffled a little bit? You know what I mean? Some of them do,
but a lot of them, the way the mouth is made so you're able to breathe better is not as confining on that.
Now, one of my favorite matches of that night, the last three were amazing, but I really liked the Rush Danielson match, and
that was gruesome.
And I put a little side note here, and it says blood on camera. Now, when I say that, if you look, did you notice that when they were wrestling, when Danielson come and his blood splattered, they kept it on the deck. The cameraman kept it on his camera.
There was more than one camera that got bloody.
Hey, and you could see little blood dots
on
the thing. And I was like, this is so fucking cool, man.
I was blown away. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is for real.
Hey, Tasha was like, what? What are you saying? I was like, look, just pause it right here because we had to rewatch it.
Oh, yeah.
I said, look, that's blood. That's blood. That's blood. She was like, oh, wow. That's right. And they didn't take, and even when it come back from commercial, they didn't wipe it. They kept those blood on the camera. Man, just so cool. So cool. I'm really liking this Danielson run. He's running through everybody. But I like Roosh.
Oh, man. Yeah, Roosh put on a show.
Dude's a beast.
God almighty.
Dude really is a beast. They need to get more him in there. But look, we could sit there and go all day with AEW of this guy's awesome. This guy's awesome. He needs more. Yeah. Man, until they get that ROH back up and running, I think we're, you know.
Yeah, I'm ready for that big
that's
time.
When everybody's going to be able to show out.
Yeah, for sure. it'll make space on that AEW roster for the AEW guys to shine, and then the Ring of Honor guys should be able to shine.
Of course, we'd probably see less of Claudio. We'd see less of, you know,
well,
the pure champion.
On AEW, we'll see less. But we'll see them on
course,
Ring of Honor
of course.
For sure. So, yeah. All right. Well, we had two championship matches on Wednesday night.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we, the Acclaimed and Guns, we kind of felt that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I like the way they sold it. They, honestly, everybody listening, I thought when I said it, for Gunn's going to turn on the Acclaimed. Billy Gunn's going to turn on the Acclaimed.
Yeah, we said it last week.
I really thought he was fixing to when he picked him up.
I did too.
I really did. But
once again, AEW's throwing them curveballs.
Yeah, man. Hey.
Man.
I was so surprised when he didn't turn, man.
And I said last week, man, I'm liking the Guns.
You did. You did.
I mean, if you take away the entitled whininess from them and watch them in the ring, you can tell they have done their homework.
Dude.
They have had somebody good to work with. I mean.
Yeah. Of course, they got their dad.
Oh, yeah.
They got their dad. And
he probably has a connection or two.
And I don't know if they did. I don't know what they claim. I don't know why they chose just to drop them. But that brings up Rampage, too.
Yeah.
Wow, what?
I mean,
they showed up for what?
I felt like it was time for the Acclaimed to drop them because since they've had them, they've defended them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no complaint there. They haven't ran with any like storylines or anything other than with the Guns.
Yeah, and then you know you had the whole little Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett where they made their little. But of all things, they wait for FTR to be basically out of the picture, and then give these titles to the Guns.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be leading to something else. We don't know. The Guns did beat FTR.
They did. And now, what I'm hoping comes out of them with these titles, they're going to talk shit.
Yeah.
Being Billy Gunn's son.
Uh-huh.
Knowing the New Age Outlaws, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg. Yeah. Them two have grown up and learned how to talk shit.
Yeah,
so
had to have. They've had to be sitting around the house listening to them talk or being
they're
backstage.
Gonna run their mouth. Those mouths are going to run now that they got those titles. Oh man, they're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see them defending those titles.
Hopefully, we'll see it a lot.
I want to see it a lot.
I want to see what they're made of. I want to see what they really
I'll
got.
I'll tell you right now, these two go out regularly, not necessarily weekly, but regularly. Defending those titles, they're going to get so much better.
With
anything. They're going to improve so much.
You know, you could do this all day, every day. You can go to the gym. You can go work out with your brother, a couple of jobbers in the gym or whatever. But I'm telling you, a lot of wrestlers have said it, that there's nothing beats being in-ring training. You know what I mean? Because you got to get that chemistry with that other person. I'm talking about in front of.
Yeah.
When I say in-ring training, I'm talking about in front of a crowd.
Right.
I'm talking about on TV. I'm not talking about in the back doing it, you know. But I like it.
But then we had the other championship match, which that was the main event. We seemed to have skipped past other one.
I did.
So we could
I wanted to say the best for last.
So we could pretend like the other one was the main event.
Hey, I wanted to say the best for last anyways.
Got an elite fanboy over here.
Hey, okay. Hey, when you know. I'm also a top flight fan, dude.
But it was, let's talk about this Trios championship match, because it was, to steal from Sheamus, it was a banger.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Top Flight, man. That's what I just told you. I like them all. I like all six guys in that ring.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a good show, and we got it.
Yeah. I didn't expect them to lose the titles, but man, there was times during that where I was like, it may not be tonight, but these guys are going to be this team of Top Flight and AR Fox. They're going to have them Trios belts.
They're going to have something soon. Top Flight, they're going to have something soon. They may not be Trios. They may say, okay, y'all look better with the tag golds. You know what I mean?
I love the fact that the three of them, now the Elite comes out. Of course, we know they're the Elite. They come out together. They come out with their an entrance song. Now, they don't necessarily come out dressed alike, but we know they're the Elite, so they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But Top Flight and AR Fox came out in matching trunks, tights, pants, whatever you want to call them. And they come out together, look like a team, which is the theme of this episode. This is our tag team episode.
I'm ready to get to our list, sir.
It's coming.
I'm so ready to get to it. Luckily, SmackDown, we didn't really tune in. Wasn't that big of a thing. So all we got to do is talk about a little bit of Rampage, and we're on it.
Yep. Let's you want to do SmackDown first or Rampage?
Let's just jump to SmackDown.
All right.
We'll do SmackDown.
I mean, we had the big takeaways. Let's see. The Fatal 4-Way, Madcap Moss now will take on Gunther for the Intercontinental title.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'll tell you
after watching the match, because I had I not watched the match, I'd probably be like, eh.
I'll be honest with you right now. I didn't get a chance to catch SmackDown.
Watching that match, Madcap Moss has been working on stuff since he's been out.
So he's just not like a hype wrestler running around clotheslining.
No, he's
showing his brute strength.
This is going to be a good match. Him and Gunther are going to be good. It's going to be a fun match, I think. When you got two strong...
He's got to be tough to take them slaps.
When you got two really strong guys together, though, sometimes it turns into a really boring match. Uh-huh. But I think these guys both have what it takes to keep the excitement up. So
you got to be able to take them chops that Gunther's handing out.
I'm excited for that Elimination Chamber match. And we had the epic return of Ronda Rousey.
Oh, Lord. I wish we had a thing right now that we could be... Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, I don't have that one programmed in yet, but that's the one for it. Anyway, so we'll move on past that one. The big thing was, is Jey Uso going to come back and help Jimmy defend those titles?
Yeah.
And Roman and Solo. So we talked about that earlier a few days ago. It was like, you know, Jey's not going to come back, and Solo's going to step in and have to defend those belts with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Ricochet and Braun Strowman come out. Jimmy comes out by himself. And I'm like, oh, man. And they're playing it off like Jimmy's going to take on both of them together.
Mm.
And Jimmy was ready to go. He was like, that's fine. I'll do what I got to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the ring and they're announcing the challengers. And they go to announce the champions. And then he stops her. He grabs I can't remember the girl's name, but he grabs the ring announcer girl. And stops her and points to the very top of the stadium. And there's Jey coming down with his titles. And he's not coming down with his head down. He's coming down, like, excited. And the place erupts. So, and they come back. And, of course, they kept their titles.
I've said it. Jey's always had a backing with the fans.
Yeah.
When he pushed Roman to his
The matches main event, he had Jey? With Roman were killer.
I like Jey also. I really did.
So, of course, the last thing with what happened on SmackDown shows, we had another good promo from Paul Heyman.
I read something about it.
That was interrupted by Sammy and all that. That was a good promo though. But the last thing you see is you see Jimmy walking with Jey in the back and tries to ask him if he's still in
mm-hmm.
or if he's out, and Jey just says, "I don't know." So we're still in limbo there because he's not going to ditch his brother.
Of course not.
There's
of
one thing not. He's not going to do. He's not going to ditch his brother.
No.
But he just said, I don't know. And he kept walking. Well, you see Paul Heyman over hiding behind a pole trying to listen.
Yeah.
And so then he goes and asks Jimmy what he said. And, is he in? And he says, he said, I don't know.
Yeah.
And later in the night, you see Jay leaving. He's walking in the back parking lot between trailers. And you see Sammy pop up out of nowhere. And they talk for a minute. And he tells Jay he appreciates the fact that he didn't join in on the beating.
I appreciate you not joining in on beating me down.
He appreciated everything he's done for him. And he tried to do a fist bump. And Jay kind of told him, get out of here with that stuff. And then he tried to do the fist bump again. And Jay did it. But at the same time, pushed him out of the way.
Like a fist bump shove. Go ahead and get out of my way. So I'm just doing this because I really don't want to.
We've been through a lot, but you need to get away from me.
Yeah, he's not going to turn on.
I really don't think he is. I really think.
Because didn't the only reason why he was solo is because Jimmy was hurt, right? That's when Jimmy was out with the knee injury?
Yeah, Jimmy was hurt.
Yeah.
But he's not going to turn on Jimmy. But I don't see the Usos turning on the Bloodline. So we're kind of left in with questions on that.
Now, this can actually be a faction, dude. I mean, even regardless, this is a faction that can be pushed for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it really could. It could be like sort of like the Horsemen. It could be like DX. It could be like, where they don't necessarily all have to have the titles to be a faction. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Hey, there's still a Bloodline. It's, the Samoan. We talk about it later on the Samoan.
Yeah, oh, yeah. For sure.
Sorry about that.
So we'll move right on to Dynamite.
Rampage.
That's what it said.
Yeah, I know. Beep.
I took down. Oh, did I only take down one note? That's fine.
I like the black. I did like the Blackpool versus Sabian, Butcher, and Blade.
Yeah,
I like that one, and that goes back to what we were talking about with the trios. I was like, man, they're throwing a lot of these trio teams out there lately.
Yeah,
they really are.
We talked about that. I feel like. Because we're seeing a lot of trios matches.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're starting to build so that we actually, have a trios division to look at. Because if you think about it, we've got the Elite. Death Triangle's been MIA. You've got Top Flight and AR Fox.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good trio. You've got the Blackpool Combat Club.
I ain't heard nothing from... who'd you say, Death Triangle?
Death Triangle. Yeah. Lucha Brothers and Pac, since they lost the titles and, they've been kind of MIA.
They have.
Not sure what's going on with House of Black. I've heard rumors that Buddy Murphy may be out, maybe headed back to WWE. Don't know. Don't know what he's doing, because I think his contract may have come up.
Yeah. And right now they just got him playing mind games with Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie Kingston. Yeah. And speaking of Eddie Kingston, just real quick, I'm throwing it out there. Well, he does not like MJF. I really don't think he likes him in real life, on the job, because he made a tweet saying something just downright dissing AEW and MJF, how they portrayed him so much on Dynamite that it was like, it was Dynamite. Yeah, but I was like, well, it's only a sour show, but we get to see. I think it was a total of something 30 something minutes of MJF, just of his wrestling, his promo, and when he came back out. So we got to see him three, maybe four times. But he does not. I don't think I need to. I'm gonna look more into that though. But they had I don't know who this kid was. Jungle Boy versus Ryan Nemeth or something.
Oh,
like
Ryan
that.
Nemeth.
Yeah, there you go.
That's Dolph Ziggler's brother.
Is it right? That is.
Yep, Dolph Ziggler's brother.
But he was out there, and then they came out talking shit. But but that was almost about it. It really wasn't a big one.
We had Brian Cage come out after that match to kind of say he's not done with Jungle Boy. They got some unfinished business type thing.
Oh, Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
Who's this guy he's going up against?
His name is Josh something. Oh, I feel stupid.
Yeah. No, I really don't know either. I really don't either. Hmm. But while you're doing that, we can go to, they had one little females match, women's match, Soho. She was out there. And it kind of basically got, I can't really remember if she won or not. I think Soho did win, but here comes Saraya and all them. And then Britt Baker jumps out to the back, from the back, and does all this. Josh Woods,
yep.
Yeah.
Leaving
Ruby Soho in that predicament of, who do I help?
So, yeah.
What do I do?
I'm kind of curious if she ends up joining Saraya and Toni Storm. I feel like she fits in with
them. I believe so, too. I believe that'd be her gig.
You get what I'm saying? I'd be happy with that because I'd be able to see more of Ruby Soho because I really like Ruby.
I do. Hey, that match she put on, that blood match.
I liked Ruby Riott when she was in WWE. Mm-hmm. I've been watching her. I kind of wish she'd go back to the long hair, but
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah,
I like Ruby. She's good.
Well, WWE got their own Ruby now, and it's Shotzi.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
so to lead into the rest of the tag team episode here, they made an announcement for next week. A Texas Tornado tag match.
Yes. You were going to talk about that. Sorry
Blackpool
about that.
Blackpool Combat Club, and I will butcher this, but La Faction.
Yeah.
And Garnables. I hope that's close enough. But you never hear that anymore. Texas Tornado tag.
You're right. You don't.
Which just means everybody's going to be in the ring at the same time. So, I mean, essentially, it's just Blackpool Combat Club versus the Lost Faction.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it again. But and they're just going to be in the ring at the same time, beat the hell out of each other, which I'm great with. Love it. But it's so rare. I can't remember the last time I've heard them do a tornado tag team match. I mean,
when it's actually been called that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been forever. But yeah. So there's the lead in. That's our segue. It's tag team time.
Now, mind you, people, we got so many ideas of what we're going to be doing on these episodes, you know, coming up. So, you know, we're going to get it. Go ahead. You know what? I think we should do it like this, Mr. Josh.
Okay. I'm in.
Give your 10, your number 10, I'll give my number 10. You give your number 9, I'll give my number 9. And that way we're just not, you know. Because I believe this is going to be interesting. So, and I'm still keeping mine hidden from him, guys.
So, I haven't seen
ladies
his.
And gents.
He hasn't seen mine. So, now, to come up with my list, I kind of gave him a glimpse of what I did. I've got a list in the back of my notebook. And I want to say I've got...
I wish I could see.
I think the one side's got like 30 names. I don't know. I've got so many tag teams.
Mind you, we even looked up the Fabulous Kangaroos, guys. Yeah. Hey, I mean, that's how deep this went into us figuring out our favorite tag teams of all times.
I've loved tag team wrestling forever. Because the big thing when I really was able to watch wrestling every week was the Road Warriors.
I know.
We've
mentioned that on almost every episode. I think me and you have talked about through something in there about tag teams, how we like them when they're actually a tag team,
it's
when they're brothers or when they match and everything else, which WWE, and you just said earlier, has lost, I think, really lost just their interest in the tag team. And a lot of people have said that for years about WWE.
Yeah.
Where is the tag teams?
And I read an article, and it was a not a nice article about Vince, where they talked about Vince McMahon. And when it came to tag teams, it was not something he was focused on. So it was, I don't know what to do with these two. Make them a tag team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, maybe
or just something to fill that space for a while. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, we don't have nothing for you to do. You're not in no title run. So how about we just drop you into this tag team with this guy right here, see where it goes. I'll just do your thing.
Yeah.
You know? But
all right. So we're going to go with number 10.
This is our GWP top 10 tag teams. From one another, okay, and we didn't know we had a lot of throwouts. So like, hey, do we look at this as like, do we look at it as titles, or do we? This is our personal favorite tag team. So this ain't about how many titles each of them had.
We didn't set any parameters
or nothing. All right.
I'm not saying that my list are the greatest teams to ever grace the planet.
I know.
But they are mine.
That's why we didn't let each other see each other's.
I may actually blow your mind with number 10.
Okay.
You ready to go?
I'm ready.
The Funks.
The Funks?
Terry and Dory Funk Jr.
Okay. All right. Now, I have the Rockers at number 10. I had the Rockers at number 10. Hey, I loved them as a kid. I did. I guess it was that point in time. I just loved those bright colors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I liked the way they did, and I liked them. But good one, man. I like that one. I like that one. That was a good one. And I thought about those too. I was like, you went way back with that one.
I did. I was really.
Wow. You went deep, deep with that. Okay.
I mean, they're before my time, but I've been a big Terry Funk fan.
For who's not?
A long time.
If you're a wrestling fan, you gotta know about Terry Funk. And, come on, man.
The more I've watched a lot of documentaries and stuff over the past few years,
mm-hmm.
and the more and more, the deeper I go into Terry Funk history and more, and it's, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, no.
You're right. All right. So, who is your number 9? I wonder if we did match any.
I don't know,
on the number wise. I'm pretty sure we got some of the same teams, but I don't know if we have them in the same location.
The Usos.
Oh, number 9? Yeah. I got the New Age Outlaws.
Okay. Okay.
I got New Age Outlaws as number 9. And you, oh, wow. We did agree on one. Hey, we're not in the same area. Let's just say that.
Yep.
All right.
So, okay, number 8, New Age Outlaws.
It's close. You know, I got the Steiner Brothers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's who I got.
As I mentioned earlier, the New Age Outlaws were a really fun team to watch.
They were, man. And you knew when they come out. And especially, I think that's one of the things that grabbed me to them, too.
Yeah.
Was their entrance.
Speaking of.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of Terry Funk, they had the dumpster match with Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack, but
yeah,
Chainsaw Charlie, Terry Funk,
man, just old girl classic wrestling. All right, man.
So I debated on this one because I almost removed it and changed my number 7, but I decided to keep it.
Me too, and that's why I was sitting there looking at it earlier before we started.
I decided recording. To keep it because I'm tired of having a headache all week.
Right, if not, dude, you'll be. I need another fucking hour or so just to get your number 7.
This list was stressful, so I put the Hardy Boys at number 7.
That's actually a good one, and I'll be honest with you right now, Hardy's. I didn't even put them on my list.
Yeah,
I didn't. And at number 7, I had the Rock and Roll Express.
Okay,
and I'll be honest with you right now. When I was looking earlier, I was wanting to replace the Rock and Roll Express. I was like, man, should I? But I remember watching them. With just the lowest production you could possibly think, with Jim Crockett and all them dude, and they had the little black blue drop cloth with the flags across the stadium. I mean, that just brought back childhood memories, man. So I had to keep them. And you said Hardy's at 7?
Hardy's at 7.
I don't blame you, man. Hard. They during that time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were, it was them and a lot of other ones at number 6. Who'd you put?
The Dudley Boys / Team 3D.
Dudley Boys, number 6. Hey, yep, the same. Hey, that's crazy. I knew we'd have one. I knew we'd have at least one.
So talking about the Dudley Boys, where did I write this down? Let me tell you this. So I did some research on them a little bit ago.
Oh, God.
So they're on paper, they're advertised as 23-time tag team champions.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going through.
Now, does that include everywhere?
It does not, turns out.
Huh.
So I'm gonna go. They have had 8 times as ECW Tag Team Champions.
Okay.
As WWF Tag Team Champions, 6 times.
Okay.
1 time as WCW.
Wait a minute. WCW? I don't remember that.
Now, it was during the Invasion stuff.
Okay, okay.
So they weren't in WCW, but they held the WCW
during the Invasion titles. Shit. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Now, WWE titles, 3 times. NWA 1.
WA, wow.
TNA. twice. I thought they had more in TNA, but it's evidently twice.
Me too.
IWGP twice.
Hmm.
I'm not familiar with the promotion, but Hustle once and 2CW once.
2CW?
2CW. Not familiar with the
promotion. I've never heard there. Yeah, but
it's probably indie stuff, but
interesting. IWGP?
Yeah. Twice. How many?
Really?
Twice.
That's it. I would not think of Dudley's with them. IWGP. I think it's well over 23. Because you were at 14 just with the first two.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is we go back to what we were talking. How many times were they WWF?
WWF 6.
And then you got to jump to WWE?
Yep.
So that's crazy that they only recognize that as WWF is 6 and then just give them 9.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But then you've got, they've been 2-time PWI Tag Team of the Year.
I can see that.
They're in the WWE Hall of Fame and mm-hmm. the TNA Hall of Fame.
I can see that.
They are. Because I've been looking at stuff all week long.
Who couldn't like the Dudleys, man? But, come on.
So that is the reason they're considered the most decorated tag team.
I can see that. It goes they go all over the board. I mean,
there's a whole lot of other accomplishments, awards and stuff that they've won.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they only make our number 6 spot.
I know, but I remember that we wasn't doing it as title runs and you know, but the Dudley Boys, they were good. Which I was going to put the Hardys. I was going to put the Hardys right there, but when I went rock and roll.
But we're entering the top 5 now.
At that point, we should have a button. Hey, dun, dun, dun. What was Letterman's David Letterman's top 10? We should have it like that.
Oh yeah.
All right. So who do you got for number 5, Ed?
Harlem Heat.
Hmm. That's an interesting.
I threw you for a loop there.
Yeah. Well, I hope one of my next ones is going to throw you for a loop. At number 5, I've got the Hart Foundation.
Okay.
I was Bret Hart.
They were definitely in top contention for my list.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
But you got them, right?
No.
Whoa, that's like with the Hardys. That's like with the Hardys and me. Wow, Harlem Heat.
Harlem Heat.
Huh. Man. I you know what? When I think of Harlem Heat, I only think, you know, well, they probably went around for a little bit. WCW, that's the only time they really were, right?
I believe so. But
whatever happened to him? Who was it? Stevie Ray? Yeah.
I'm not sure what he's doing anymore.
He's got to be in there. Got his toes and fingers something.
I'm sure,
you know,
he's doing something. But
These last 4 are going to. Okay, who you got?
Number 4.
Uh huh.
Now I struggled with this one because they're a team, but they also have had more than just 2 people. So I struggled, but
that's what I struggled with one of mine.
I've always liked them.
Uh huh.
They're another one that's kind of before my time,
mm-hmm.
but they went into my time. Fabulous Freebirds.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude.
I've always liked the Freebirds.
I thought you were going Midnight Express.
Nope.
Because I think I was talking about that earlier. Yeah. I was like, I was going to put, and they're right here. And, hey, they're right here. Matter of fact, they got replaced with the Dudleys.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, there have been so many fucking people in Midnight Express.
And that's what I struggled with on the Freebirds.
But good one, though.
I've always, I don't know what it is, but the Freebirds, I've always liked the Freebirds.
No wrong with that. I like them. That was a good call. That was a good call. And that's where my number 4 drops with the Usos.
Okay.
I got that. Yeah. 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 I got the Usos at number 4. And that's just because of what they're doing nowadays, and I'm just digging the hell out of them. You know what I mean? But I like them. Top 3, sir.
Top 3.
I already know. I can pretty much tell you what this man's number 1 is, but I just don't want to say it. But, all right, go ahead.
Number 3, Rock and Roll Express. I've got them pretty high.
You do got them pretty high.
Which
is understandable.
But
it's cool.
they deserve it. And, mm-hmm. and for them to
be around for so long,
they have had and still be going.
They fought the Briscoes not too long ago. That's wild. Okay, man.
Number three.
Road Warriors.
Okay. At least they cracked top three.
I know. I already know they did. This is the one I was telling you.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear your number two.
Number two.
Uh-huh.
It's actually on your list, but much further down. My number two is the Steiner Brothers.
Okay.
Again, I was a big fan. I don't know if it was the bright color singlets that come out together.
I know, right?
They had the Bulldog with them at one point.
And that was a cool Rick Steiner.
It was.
Before he just got juiced up, man. I liked the Steiner Brothers. I really did. But my number two, the Brainbusters.
Brainbusters.
Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard.
I had them on my
consideration
list.
Did you really?
I did.
Hey, man, I've always been a Horseman. I've always been an Arn Anderson fan.
Yeah.
Since he's, man, just when you, back in those days, when you thought of Arn Anderson or his brother, I've never said it right. Ole
yeah, Anderson.
I never got it, but man, you would always, it was just them. Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Horseman, dude.
Yes.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
You loved him. Loved him or hate him, you had to respect the Horseman. All right. Number one, sir.
All right. Yeah, come in no surprise. That's the Road Warriors.
I know I've been biting my lip for a week, everybody.
It's the Road Warriors.
And I'm pretty sure you can guess mine, right?
I mean, I went ham about the Road Warriors last week, if anybody didn't guess that by now.
Yeah. And I go ham about this team. You sure already know who my number one is. The Young Bucks. They're my number one right now. And until somebody changes my mind on that, and it's not just that, it just goes back to what I say. And I like his number one. Very fucking, very great tag team. But I just go back to, I just like that chemistry. It's more of a chemistry thing to me with the tag teams. I like watching those two get in there and fucking work. And they also get in there and they joke around. You know what I mean? Like if you watch their trios match the other night, they were like, oh, you know, there's a clip of Kenny Omega making jokes in the ring and shit like that. And like, oh, look at it. Matt told Nick, oh, no, watch out. He's going to flip at us at the top turnbuckle. And everybody's like, duck, Nick. And they both duck. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, so, I like the way they're going with it, these two teams.
So I did have the Young Bucks in my consideration list. So if y'all could see this page. So I've got this whole other list on the sides.
And yeah.
This is teams that I'm like, I really like these teams, but they were singles wrestlers, and not before they were really a team. So I kind of, but I've got some teams that kind of stood out, like from NXT. That now I don't have any that's on the current NXT roster.
Yeah, I mean you can always have notable mentions, like we were talking earlier about the Strike Force.
But yeah. But like right, the ones that really come to mind for me from NXT were DIY, Gargano and Ciampa.
Okay.
The Vaudevillains, which that was a gimmick team, but they pulled it off. It was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah.
I liked that. And yes, they were a Road Warrior ripoff, but in NXT, they were badass, and it's the Ascension.
Yeah.
And they were just completely... I don't know what happened to them when they hit main roster. Why not scribble on that?
Now, years and years and years down the road, there's going to be a totally different list.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, man, we got tag teams like the Viking Raiders. We got, man, hey. Right and like there. When you go back, you can't forget about people like the Bushwhackers. Hey. Like I said, the Strike Force. You could go on and on and on because back then it was like, I love tag team wrestling.
Mm-hmm. But we had the Authors of Pain.
Oh, wow.
NXT. Wow. And then like right now, what you got going in AEW even. We had Jurassic Express.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun team and they made sense together and it was a good team.
Well, I guess that's what they're kind of... Well, I was making fun of it earlier about the big dude and little dude with Braun and Ricochet. Right. But, yeah, I could see that. I just blocked that out.
They meshed.
Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. Wow.
They meshed together better than Braun and Ricochet. Not that I'm complaining about Braun and Ricochet, because I said earlier, I think I like them as a team. But
Braun's going through something.
When I see stuff like that, I want to see it as a one-off. I don't want to see them having tag titles. They're not a true tag team.
No.
And then, of course, Best Friends.
Yeah.
They're good. Top Flight.
Yeah. Come on, dude.
We didn't talk about that at all.
Yeah.
But I've got some teams from back in TNA that I really had. I'll be honest. I was really hoping I had room on my list for the Motor City Machine Guns.
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't knock any of those guys off the list. Well,
hell, and man, I can't believe none of us even did the Briscoes on our list.
No, I've got them wrote down right there. But you know,
what about Beer Money?
And then the Briscoe Brothers, even.
Yeah, Beer Money.
Yeah, Beer Money. Is that on here? No. Here's one that I wrote it down, but it was never going to make the top 10. But I thought they was so cool. 3 minute warning.
Yeah, loved they 3 were. Minute warning. They were. I liked them.
I loved 3 minute warning, and for Eric Bischoff to come out and you know, you've got 3 minutes.
Yeah,
and then these two giant freaking Samoans. Oh my God.
Once again, Samoans.
Yeah, and they're part of that dynasty. Unfortunately, neither one of them are with us anymore. That sucks.
But I know. Seems like we look man.
I mean, you know, neither list had FTR on them, and we talked so highly of FTR.
True.
But, I've got Bushwhackers on here. I had the Faces of Fear, Ming and the Barbarian, and I was really, I really enjoyed Ming and the Barbarian. I really thought about them.
Ted DiBiase and RS and...
I mean, you could go into the...
Brothers of Destruction, Taker and Kane.
There's another one back from some WCW stuff, Doom.
Wow. Hey, I didn't even think of them.
Yeah. What else I got on here?
Doom. Wow.
I had the Nasty Boys. If we was in... They might make a top 20 list for me. I don't know.
God, if we don't say that, because if people start saying, hey, we need you to, we're doing a top 20 list, man.
One of my favorite teams going.
That was Ron Simmons. Wow.
Yeah. And right now they're one of my favorite teams going right now, and that's the Lucha Brothers.
Yeah.
I love seeing them two in the ring.
Hey, man. Who doesn't? I mean, that's.
I'm kind of surprised neither one of us brought Von Erichs up.
Yeah,
but you know, they deserve mentioning for sure.
That's for damn sure.
And right before we started recording, we was talking about as a kid.
Yeah,
you know, I'm seven, you know, something like that. The Natural Disasters was such a cool team.
Yeah.
I was talking about that, you know, Earthquake and Typhoon. You know, these dudes are huge. You know, if I watch it today, and I probably wouldn't feel the same. But as a kid, that was really cool.
That was awesome. Hey, when you see them come out, dude, it's just like, oh my God, these are two big boys. I mean, they really were.
But the Rockers were one of the first ones I wrote down on my consideration list here.
Who?
The Rockers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So. I didn't forget them, but
I don't know why. When they'd come out, hey, with things around their arms, and it was just, you know, God, it was just fun.
Midnight Express, I crossed them out too. Rock and Roll Express.
Well, of course, hey, because you had so many dang people.
But there's, you know, we had there's the Bushwhackers, Headbangers. Now there was no chance that this team was going to crack my top 10 either, but I wrote them down anyways. The Public Enemy,
yeah,
Johnny Grunge, Rocco Rock, man, they were over. They were over like a son of a bitch in their day. That was they were a fun team, and they brought the violence.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, they got over,
Back in those days, man, a lot of tag teams got pushed aside, and then you had the little teams that were just superstars put together, and
yeah, I mean,
they made good teams.
You know, we got I've got the Brothers of Destruction. Yeah, see, there's beer money over here to the side.
Yeah.
That was James Storm and Bobby Roode put together.
Okay.
You know, that's what most of my stuff off to the side is singles wrestlers. There's Rock and Sock.
Yeah. Nah, I could have swore. Hey, who are you talking about? The Rock and Sock Connection, right? Why would you say that? I just figured you'd bring up Rock and Sock.
But I mean, I've even got Drew and Sheamus wrote down over here on the side was what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
It's so, I mean, again, I like watching it, but I don't want to see them have the tag titles.
Right, right.
But it's fun because you're seeing those two guys. Sheamus knows where he's at in his career. He doesn't need any more titles.
Right.
If they wanted to do a title run, they could. Neither one of them really need a run with tag titles.
I believe, though, hey, I believe old Sheamus wants to hold one more title. That I see.
Sure.
He's never held that one.
Now
him and Gunther put on a banger.
That may be a thing. So we might end up seeing that. But they're just enjoying. They're really good friends in and out of the ring.
They are,
so
dude.
They're just enjoying hanging out and getting to go put on a show together.
Yeah.
And that's good to watch.
They are. They're really good friends. And that's what makes them such a good tag team, too.
That's really good to watch.
But real quick, back to Doom. I was looking up. Yeah. I can't believe Nancy Benoit. Was there one of their managers? I couldn't. Yeah. I was trying to remember her name the other day because she used to come out with some other people. But I was like, I don't know. I couldn't remember Chris Benoit's wife's name. But that was it. Nancy Benoit used to come out with them.
But I mean, and what I tried to do when I'm looking at my list is I tried to avoid factions. You know, I don't have NWO. I don't have
Horsemen.
You know, Horsemen. And that, I mean, and you know, we talked about, you know, Brainbusters, that Tully mm-hmm. and Tully and Arn. I mean, they're horsemen, but it was things that I was not looking at factions. I was looking at teams. Like I said, what I enjoy best about tag teams is it's a true team. Road Warriors come out in the spikes, the face paint. One of them's got a mohawk. One of them's got a reverse mohawk. It's a team.
You had a great number one. You had a great number one pick, dude. Hey, I'm not arguing with it one bit. I'm not arguing with it one bit. You had a great number one pick. I mean, they were on mine, too. You know, the Road Warriors. I put them at, what, three? Yeah, they were in my top three. So,
both lists were great.
Yeah. So, I think that's our cue.
That is the cue telling us we need to wrap it up.
Another great episode. And we've got plenty more that we're working on, and we're going to try to bring everyone content. And, like, also, too, feel free to leave us comments, messages on our Facebook or whatever. Any ideas that y'all like to hear us talk about? I mean, we're always open for suggestions.
Yeah, and the link for this episode will be up. And you know, give it. You get done listening, hey, let us know what your top tag teams are.
And we still want to know who our Germany listener is.
Absolutely.
Please reach out to us.
Please hit us up.
Please reach out.
But talk about what's coming next. Just this past week, we started a TikTok account where I'm on there giving random wrestling facts.
Yeah.
A little short, about 1 minute, little
TikToks. It's really cool. I like that you're doing it. It's really cool.
So check us out on TikTok. Make sure you like and follow on there.
We will be having an Instagram page coming up too as well soon.
That's coming up. And we've got some big plans coming up for WrestleMania weekend. We're trying to... Night one, we're going to struggle with because we're going to have to watch that from work.
It's going to be a tough weekend.
Night two, we're going to ham it up real big. So
yeah.
Be looking for the news on Facebook for that. We'll be keeping you updated.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get closer, we'll keep you informed on here as well. But let's talk about next week, what we're going to do. We've got another big topic next week we're going to dive into. And, We haven't said a whole lot about what's going on in Japan lately.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. Man, hey, we need to like I said though, when we started doing this, we were going to do indies. We're going to cover AEW Divs, and we're really going to try to start digging into New Japan because they've got some good things going on. They really do.
Yeah,
we got a lot to talk about with them too. Mentioning Mr. Jay White,
we've got New Japan. You know, there's Noah over there, and I want to talk about just Japanese wrestling in general. A lot of history over there, a lot of wrestling history. So, we're gonna get into Japanese wrestling next week.
Yeah, and I'll tell
what's going on now.
Japanese
what's going
wrestling
on back then
is who got me liking. Who I'm liking right now.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite is Omega. That's who got me liking them again. And man, we can go all Yeah, be looking for our New Japan episode.
It's
going to
be a good episode.
Please.
Make sure you know wherever you're watching and listening, you're following.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. We are in talks on starting up where you'll be able to watch us on YouTube.
Yep.
That's coming in the near future.
We've got a lot coming.
We're not slowing down anytime soon.
We want to thank everybody, and as always,
appreciate
see you next week.
Listening.